Welcome to Botches Off Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. Today I've got Mr. Joe Yamber, Yoda disciple on Instagram for anyone who does that whole thing. We're just kind of gonna run down on his Sequoia and his Tundra, and yeah, it should be a pretty decent episode.
Don't forget about my other Instagram account.
I can't remember what her name is.
Donnie Tramp.
Yeah, Donnie Tramp. That is a great time. So yeah. You know, I've known you for a long time, and all I know about the Sequoia is it's on 37s.
So I started that when we went to Drummond in 23 with MST, and we took the Tundra, just my oldest son and I, and then we wanted to incorporate the rest of the family, and the Tundra being an access cab is a little too small for that. So we went on the North Shore trip with the Sequoia when it was stock. We had a blast. My wife kind of got on board for beefing it up a little bit, and then in true Yambor fashion, I went a little overboard. So it's got Fox 2.5s in the front, JBA upper control arms, Dobbinson's IMS in the rear, and then the 2.5-inch lift springs, Method 305s, and Kenda 37s, and then the Coastal Off-Road Bumper, X-Bull Winch, Talon's Garage Full Skids, 80% off-road sliders, Pro Speed Roof Rack, and then the TMU Rooftop Tent, Cali Raise Light Bar, Aux Beam Pods, Midland 50 watt, and then upgraded head unit to run Onyx, just in the heads up display, as opposed to running like a tablet separate or anything, you know.
Right.
Oh, it's got my favorite cheapest mods I've done with it was the H7 switchbacks behind my projector lenses. Where those I can just go sick. go from white to amber. They were like Amazon specials for like 40, 50 bucks or whatever, but they're sweet. Like it really is a really useful mod for trails and snow and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've just got those LEDs in the Forerunner, and man, do I wish I had them switchbacks.
They're cheap. Like I said, especially if you have a projector, like it's kind of a no brainer because you get all the benefits of white light and amber for next to nothing.
Right.
Like the Aux Beam has a set of them that run, you know, stupid expensive, but those are Chinese chips anyway. So, I mean, I just got the Amazon ones.
Do you, you still got your cracked rear bumper on that thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I want to get, thanks Derek. I want to get, he's going to rip on me too for even mentioning that it was his fault, but I, whatever. I want to get the Victory one, but like at the same time, I don't feel like dropping like $2,700 with the swing out too. So I'll probably just keep rocking it until it falls off and then we'll deal with it later. That's kind of my style.
Is the Victory one the only option for an upgrade on that thing?
No, there's one more, and the Victory one looks cheap compared to that. The Tandem Off-Road, who kind of pioneered second-gen Sequoia builds, they have an option, and without a swing out, but theirs is really cool. I'll give them that. Like, it has options for dual swing outs, jerry cans, everything. But that one starts at $3,800 without swing outs.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, yeah, well, at the time, they were the only one doing it. So, I mean, and they're a smaller shop. They don't, I get why it's expensive, but I can't. No way.
You could get a really shitty third gen for that price.
You could get six XJs for it.
Right.
And that's the thing, too, is why, like I'm kind of pivoting off, like, wheeling the crap out of the Sequoia, because as fun as it is, like, it's limited with the independent rear and it's expensive. Like, right. The XJ, I bought two XJs all in for $1,750 and a shotgun, because I traded Jeep Derek, some money, a shotgun, and some MST merch for that XJ he had.
Yeah, it's been fun watching you wheel the XJ, because you almost wheel like me with just no care in the world now.
Yeah, like, I don't want to break it too bad to where, like, it's going to be a hassle to get it back on the trailer, but, like, at the same, yeah, I don't care. Like, you know, if I have a whole nother one sitting at home, parts for a whole nother one. It's all taken apart now, but I have axles, I have alternators, starters, engines, you know what I mean? Like, if it happens, it happens.
I love driving a shitbox, because when I break something, it's like, you know, 50, 60 bucks to fix it, maybe up to 500, but usually it's under 100 bucks.
Yeah, dude, like a Toyota alternator when we fried mine on Drummond was an AutoZone one, was almost $300. Like, you know, the parts for Toyota stuff especially, it is so expensive. Like, you can, an OEM Toyota alternator is $450. That doesn't include shipping. Like, I'm sorry, you can buy whole parts XJ for that.
And with what's been going on with the OEM market, at least for third gens, I don't know about up there, OEM stuff almost doesn't matter anymore because it's the same crap that everyone else has now.
I mean, typically I'll try to get Denso stuff, like coils or spark plugs, stuff like that if I can. There's no sense in, you know, spending an extra $30 on a coil that has Toyota stamped on it when you can get a Denso one. That's the exact same thing because they're the OEM supplier. But, you know, I try to buy stuff that's budget friendly, but that's also going to last.
Like, even in the third gen world, even our rack and pinion, the OEM rack and pinion is the same as the $200 one off Rock Auto.
I'm not sure who does that. I just know about my Tundra, and it's it had a. I bought a one from JoJo, the parts guy, but it was stamped Jekt, J-E-K-T. Whoever that is, I'm sure you can get it a lot. I'm sure you can get it a lot cheaper from just buying right from the supplier without a Toyota sticker on it.
Of course, JoJo's got pretty decent deals, too.
Yeah, people have good experiences with them. There's bad experiences. I've never had a bad experience with them, so. We're actually working on getting his merch set up through our website. Not sure where the progression on that is yet, but stay tuned for it, I guess.
Yeah, I got to get with you to get our merch over there, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, we can talk about, that stuff. MST's merch is booming. It's pretty good. We got a bunch of lady stuff coming up right now that, they're putting onto the website. We've got my stuff, the DNR, the Yoda Disciple stuff. Everything, MST, it all goes right back to the club. It doesn't go, to, like, you know, my mom, you know, she has to cover her costs and everything, but it's the only financial way to support MST. So if you can buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, whatever, you know, helps those guys have some funds to plan things, you know, whatever. Even if it's just them going to buy a beer and talking about a trip, you know, hey, whatever. They do a lot for us, so we can do a little for them.
Yep. But, so the your Tundra build, you've got what, Kings all the way around on that, or just in the rear?
No, Kings in the front, Foxes are in the rear. That's pretty mild too. I mean, I did piece together, like where the Sequoia I did it all at one time. The Tundra was over, and it's, you know, nothing's ever done, but the Tundra, you know, I started off with a little Daystar polyurethane leveling kit, and then from there went to Toytex, from there went to Kings. So it's, you know, I don't wheel it too much, but it is fun to wheel it. You know, I got so much crap, you know, I it's just I don't know. I don't have any sort of plans, dude. It just, it all kind of happens, and then I spend more money, and then, yeah, whatever.
I mean, isn't that why you get money, is to spend money?
That's, yeah, that's what I tell my wife, but then she doesn't think that that's how it should go.
And my wife kind of gave up stopping me from spending money at this point.
Yeah, I mean, she saw some of my Black Friday purchases and the Amazon thing, and then saw the Jackery and the diesel heater. And like, said, well, I'm not going to go camping in the cold anyway. I don't know what you need all that stuff for. I'm like, all right, well, those surprise nights where you're, you know, it's nice and 60 degrees and drops to 40s in the middle of the night, you're going to be happy that we have this stuff.
What diesel heater did you get? You get one you're building, or did you get an all-in-one?
I got the Vivor with the app control. I think it's like a 5 kilowatt or whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
we put one of those in my buddy's van when he was living out of it. And yeah, it would work really well. And then randomly it would just pump exhaust through the cab.
Oh, that's good.
But I think it's because he had his exhaust too close to the intake.
Yeah, I honestly, it's still sitting in the box. I am to the point now where I don't even open up boxes. Like, I just throw, like, I'm not even kidding, dude. I can show you. I've got boxes that are just, I don't even know what's in them anymore. Until I need it, I don't even open them. But there's no point really messing with it until the Jackery gets here. I can't jack yet until after the new year. It should be here like January 5th or something. So, man,
it's taken it so long for you to be able to jack.
I just want to jack like with myself and with other people, and I can't jack.
I mean,
everybody else is jacking without me.
Hey, I don't jack without you. I don't bring no secondary power.
Yeah, I know these guys are talking about running different batteries and all that stuff. I'm lazy, man. Like, just give me a box to plug into a cigarette lighter, and that's good. Like, I don't have my wiring hooked up to switch panels or anything. I'm just like a king of butt connectors. Even in the Sequoia, which is like a nice build from the outside. Well, it was before Derek messed my bumper up. like, dude, I don't know. I just get it working for now, and like I say, I'm going to get to it later, and I never do.
Yeah, I switched to AGM when I put my battery in the back when I did the relocation. Just because when you're in the AGM, it doesn't vent, whereas a normal battery vents, and I don't want to be breathing in battery stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It hasn't caused me any problems, but maybe it's something to look at. I don't know. Did you boost your voltage for it?
I have not boosted my voltage yet.
So from what I've read, and I just read stupid crap on, you know, Facebook groups, who these guys maybe know what they're talking about or maybe don't, but you're supposed to boost your voltage with AGM batteries because they want to supposed to charge over 14 volts. So there's a diode that you can get for GM cars, and you shave part of like the side of it off, and then you just replace your alternator 15 amp fuse with this diode, and it boosts it a full volt. And you can add a fuse situation where you have like your 15 amp and the diode, and it'd probably be a safer way to do it. I just stuck the diode in there, and it hasn't given me any issues yet. Although I am gonna replace my starter for the second time in a year, so maybe. I think that has something to do with more with wenching you out of the South Shore loop, and then also doing tank traps and stuff like that. Had four feet of water when we got in there.
Yeah, I was pretty stuck that day. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, dude. Remember we pulled you out, like your horn was going off nonstop. The car was trying to start on its own with the remote start.
That was freaking out. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done. I'm not gonna lie. I should have listened to you and just got out.
Well, when we went back in June and we went through it and saw what you fell in, because it dropped, it was fine on the one side, and he dropped off into the tank trap on the other side, but the whole thing was submerged in water. There's no way to tell.
Yeah.
But I was getting up to about my headlight, like, when I dropped that first, I'm like, dude, there's, I'm not trying to hydrolock a vehicle that I have this kind of financial responsibility to pay off on, you know, although insurance typically will cover that, but.
Is that mine would cover it?
I'm not trying to explain that to my agent.
I was just driving down the road and I hit a puddle.
Well, he's also like my buddy too. So, cause my, my wife's friend, he started his own agency. So I threw him some business to, you know, help him get going or whatever. Shout out Alec Garza. But anyway, so he sees everything I do on Facebook and I'm like, had these conversations with him, like, hey man, like if I suck water in my engine, like what's going to happen, do you think? And he's like, well, if it's water related damages, we'll cover it. And I'm like, all right. He's like, just maybe don't describe how it happened and have a better way to say how it happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was on the phone with State Farm like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, so if I'm out on a trail and I break something, how am I covered? And they're like, well, we'll get the vehicle to a repair center. We'll cover all the towing. And we generally will give a pretty decent payout. And I'm like, all right, I'm sold.
Yeah, I have State Farm too. It's expensive, like really expensive right now with having three vehicles on full coverage. But yeah, whatever. It's like 500 and we just got the RAV4, so I haven't even seen what that's going to entail. I think yeah, he said it was more expensive, but.
I've got just the 4Runner and my 442, which is in storage, and I'm sitting at like 313 or something like that.
Jesus.
Like it's expensive.
You have full coverage on the third gen?
Oh yeah. Man. I have agreed upon payout at 14 grand on the third gen.
How do you go about getting that?
Well, it started with my 442 is how, I don't know exactly what it was because my 442 blue books at like $600, but it's one of 204. Cause you know, according to the title, it's just a Calais, but because it's a quad 442, it got appraised and it appraised at like 23 grand. So they gave me agreed upon payout at 23 grand on that. And then I did the same thing for the 4Runner when I bought it.
So you just get them appraised and then
pretty much. Yeah. You got to get them appraised and there's some paperwork you got to fill out, but.
Well, I don't think I'm not sure how high mine would appraise after Derek ruined my bumper, but,
with newer vehicles like the Sequoia, I don't know if they would do it. I think they have to be over like 20 years old or something like that.
Oh, okay. The Tundra might be worth looking at doing that with then.
I bet you the Tundra's would fall into that category.
Yeah, it's a 2000. So anyway,
yep.
Maybe something to look into. What what do you guys got going on? You guys got any rides coming up soon?
I think me and Gavin are going to go out here locally on Saturday and just kind of see what's going on with snow and stuff. I don't want to say we're taking the winter off, but we're wheeling light this winter.
Yeah, I have a couple things on the maintenance list to check off, but I want to at least get a few. Like last year, then we didn't have much snow, and my wife had to have surgeries like the 1 week that we actually had it, so I didn't really get any decent snow wheeling in. Besides Winterfest, we had Winterfest, but that was, you know, I want to just go, you know, find some fresh snow and see what those 37s will eat, you know.
Yeah, we've got Mark's truck. We've got some work we got to do. We got to fix his rear springs and stuff. I think we're going to try and get some 35s on the third gen before we go to Leatherwood.
Skinny 35s, man.
That's what I plan on doing, is skinny 35s.
Yeah, skinny 35s are the way to go.
And then probably a roof rack and stuff. And just try to save money on wheeling so we can do some building, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And we've got that whole tool trailer build going on, so.
Yeah, I've got stuff. I got the the trailer sitting at Derek's house. I need to go grab, but I have to replace the starter on the Sequoia again. I just did it about this time last year. Yeah, I did it last year. But Toyota electronics don't like water, and it saw more water than I planned on it seeing this past wheeling season. So I'm going to chalk it up to that. So, but if it sucks to replace, man. It's like a 3-hour job on your back, dude. And it, you know, yeah. I mean, I probably will get it done sooner, like quicker this time, being my second time doing it. But I've been procrastinating it hardcore because I absolutely am dreading it.
If we were a video podcast, this is where I'd splice in the reel of you going through the tank traps.
Yeah, yeah. I just watched it recently, explaining to some of the guys why I have to replace it after a year, and like I screenshotted like how deep it actually was, because it was over the headlights, it was up to the hood. Yeah. Luckily, it was just like that one drop in section. I got out of it real quick, and like if it would have been that deep for like 20-30 yards or something, it probably would have been a problem.
But yeah, I should. That was a really fun trip. There was a lot more water than I thought there would be.
Yeah, I'd never been up there in the spring before, and it was a surprise for sure. But it was fun. But that was kind of the trip too that opened my eyes up to, like, hey, like, this kind of sucks having to worry about wheeling the thing that you need to drive, you know, 4.5 hours home or longer if you're going other places. Right. But Drummond for me is 4.5 hours. But, you know, having to drive over the Mackinac Bridge on battery was pretty scary. And kind of was what kind of nudged me into the direction of doing the whole trailer shitbox rig thing. Where that, you know, I can break and load it up on the trailer and worry about it later, not having to change it an alternator in an AutoZone parking lot, you know, 100 miles away from where it failed at.
Yeah, that was,
yeah.
I'm glad you made it though, because we were with you for what, like 50 miles of that, and then we split off, but.
Yeah, probably a little longer. It's about, it's a two-track, it's a two-lane, so it's about an hour from the bridge to the ferry. So, yeah, probably 60, 70 miles or whatever.
Yeah, we were pretty worried you weren't going to make it. It was pretty bad.
Honestly, like, Todd charged me so much the night before. I was hooked up for, like, 5 hours while you guys were cooking your meal in tinfoil that took 4 hours to cook.
yeah, that was... That was the thing.
yeah. And then we just, you know, we stopped when we could charge. Luckily, the guys in the ferry got us close together so we could charge on the ferry. And then we stopped at that rest area for 30 minutes before the bridge, and it was smooth sailing, but it was scary. I remember we took, we had everything hooked up, ready to go in case Todd had to tow me in the middle of the bridge. We had a kinetic rope and a shackle like on standby.
We've all started adding the little plugs, the Anderson connectors that Todd has on his truck.
Yeah, that was very convenient at the time for sure.
Because of that trip, we've all added them to our trucks now.
Yeah, I haven't, because I don't learn from my mistakes or anything like that. But you know,
I've got technically three coming out of my battery box. One of them that actually hooks the battery to the truck, one for my air compressor, and then a small one for hooking up whatever I want on top of that.
Yeah, see, you got so much stuff going on, like as far as like built into your rig, and it's commendable, but I just don't have like the motivation to like wire all that crap up and like mount it. I just give me an air compressor and a Harbor Freight Apache Pelican case. Give me a Jackery and a Harbor Freight box, you know, and then just figure it out.
I got a new air compressor not too long ago to replace that slow one I had, and it lasted all of like 3 trips before it blew one of the seals out. So now I got to rip the whole thing apart and repair it.
I had that Napa one that everybody raved about because it is fast. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, well, apparently, I mean, maybe you're supposed to secure them and not let them bounce around in the back hatch at Silver Lake, like, and do whatever else we do, bombing trails with Derek or whatever. Because I was pumping up after, where were we at, St. Helen, and it started making these horrible noises. Like, I'm like, dude, this thing's going down. And I just, like, Mario was there. I'm like, dude, let's just let it die. Let's let it, let's let it go out with a bang. And it just, yeah, it just, like, the piston was destroying itself. It had, I kind of tore it apart a little bit, and it had, like, a hole in it. It was so bad.
Do you, still happen to have it?
Yeah. You can have it if you want.
I could definitely use some parts off that to fix mine.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee they're worth anything. Like I said, it was not making good noises. I don't know what happened, but it blew itself up. But yeah, it was great. And so instead, I just went and got the Harbor Freight one with a 2-year warranty. And, you know, if it fails, I'll just go get a different one. I actually had two because I found an open box one in the back. And I don't know if you do this or not, but I'll go grab the manager and haggle with them a little bit. Like, they wanted like $90 for it. I think I paid 55.
We've got,
it'll say on the welder.
Oh, we had a welder that they had it marked at 130, and we haggled them down to like $85 or something like that.
Yeah, because like it'll say like the date on that blue tag or whatever, and if it's been sitting there a while, they don't care. They just you know, some of them are sticklers about it. I mean, most of the time though, yeah, they, you know, they just want it off the shelves. They don't really care.
But all right, man. It's been a joy talking to you. We'll have to get you on a little more planned than just a last minute, hey man, we need someone to record with us.
Well, I'm not sure if I have anything else more to say that would be planned, you know. I just
I am planning a big Marblehead episode soon, and I want you there for that. So,
well, I could talk about that all day. I got a few minutes if you I mean I don't have to like leave until about 8:15, so I got, if you don't want to cut it short quite yet, I got a couple more minutes, but,
oh yeah, cool. We can keep going a little bit.
The, 7:50 is kind of like my, you know, starting to get out the door time because I work third, but, so Marblehead, when I went up for the fall colors, the XJ on 33s, when I have a 4.5-inch lift on it, but I was able to do the new line with it. I had to stack a little bit. Casey, great spotter, he helped me up and down. And it's a shame what they did. Like I was listening to Derek's episode, and he kind of put it in really good words where he said there was something for everybody there, where you could start off on one thing and kind of, as you progress with yourself and your abilities and your rig, you can move on to different lines. Right. And they kind of took that away. They took that away from everybody. Like I know for a fact, like some of the longer wheelbase setups are really going to struggle with it now. And the Sequoia, I don't think I'll ever try it with the Sequoia. I mean, I do have a ton of ground clearance, but it just the long wheelbase on it is really going to kill it.
Right.
So, but the XJ with the welded rear, it did it and it was fine. But yeah, it's a shame that, you know, to move some stupid boulders in front of a cliff, they had to destroy, you know, 1/3 of, you know, a historic piece of Michigan's wheeling history, and actually, you know, the whole Midwest, even the country. You know, we only have two badge of honors in Michigan. That was one of them. So,
I think it is again. I think they gave it back.
Yeah, they did. But still, it's, you know, it's just disgusting. What a gross, just poor planning, poor execution, just the whole thing is.
Yep.
Disgusting. But so on, there's guys out there who don't want to go back. They say they're never going to go back. And in my opinion, if that's what's going to happen. I mean, that just kind of opens the door for them to keep making their enhancements, quotation marks, right, and going unchecked. You know what I mean? Like that kind of woke a lot of people up in Michigan and in the Midwest as to what, you know, the DNR is doing just without any sort of public input at all. They claim they had input from, you know, some off-road clubs, blah, blah, blah. But
in 2015.
Well, if you dig deeper into it too, they didn't actually have like somebody out there who was like, oh, okay, yeah, do that. No, that's not what actually happened. So I think that people should keep going, keep an eye on it, show that, you know, hey, like, we've got your eye on you and you better not do anything like that ever again. And honestly, like, if there was a way, I would like to see, you know, whoever was actually pulling the trigger on that to be brought, you know, brought up on charges or something. I mean, you can't, they have a fiduciary responsibility to maintain and preserve the land, not destroy it. And doing all that destruction in the name of preservation is so hypocritical, and it's just, it's gross. That's the only word I can say.
We see it from the DNR, not just in the off-road community, but look what they do with, you don't hunt, I don't think, but look what they do with hunting and how they manage deer. It's just, it's gotten better, but we went through a really dark time for a while.
Yeah. I'm not much of a hunter. It's not, I don't have anything against it or anything. I don't have the time, you know. All my time that I have available, like, for me, I usually spend fixing the things I broke wheeling or going wheeling and breaking more things. So, and then, you know, being, you know, a father too, working, you know, just, it's, I don't have time to go spend a week sitting in the woods, man.
Yeah, this year I didn't hunt for the same reason, just work. I didn't really have a farmhand and I had to work all day, every day. So,
yeah, but anyway, so back to the Drummond Island thing, I think that people should continue to go, you know, show that we care about the trails, clean up after yourself. You know, those businesses on the island, they're not the ones that pulled the trigger on this. You know, the nice lady at the gift shop, she wasn't out there bulldozing, you know, Marblehead, you know, stuff like that. You can go spend your money, you know, and, you know, they survive off tourism. You know, there's only, you know, I can't say specifically numbers, but, you know, 1,500 people that live on that island, you know, so I have nothing, I don't know. You can't point your rage and take away your dollars from people who had nothing to do with it.
And there's still Moose Nemesis.
Moose is, yeah, well, that's, it should be called Joe's Nemesis, but that's a whole nother topic. I when we went with just the family, in August, I didn't have the rear of the XJ locked yet, and I struggled again on it for a while. And I was just by myself with my wife and kids, so I was like, kind of getting on it a little bit, spinning. I was like really worried about breaking an axle shaft and getting stuck out there. So I went on it from a diagonal line. Like, I did the main obstacle just from a sideways diagonal line, and I made it up. But when I went with Casey and the Fall Colors group, we just walked right up it. That welded rear makes such a difference.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, at the same time, like, obviously lockers are great, but I would, the Sequoia especially would really benefit from one, but I can't just go in there with a stick welder and figure it out with that, you know, that it needs a little bit more road manners than the XJ does.
I have not had my locker since we got back from Drummond.
Didn't it fail up there?
Yeah, it failed at Drummond.
I think you, I think if I had to guess anyway, you probably fried the actuator when you were sitting in all that water trying to engage it.
So the actuator functions, it just doesn't engage the gear. So I just need to take it apart and rebuild it. It's like,
yeah,
$100. I just haven't taken the time to do it.
Honestly, like, especially with something like that, there's a lot of third gen part outs and everything. You could probably just find a used one and,
yeah,
like even a whole rear used third member and just swap that and make your life easier.
The, for lockers, even used ones around us have been going for like between $800 and $1,300 for just that whole axle.
Yeah. I know I've seen people score them on eBay, cause I used to have a third gen too. So I'm still in like all those Facebook groups. Like, yeah, sometimes people on eBay don't really know what they have. They just, you know, they're parting something out and they part things out for a living. They don't know what it is. I've seen somebody get one for like $75 one time for the whole third member. Wow. But I mean, you're going to pay probably, you know, $90 to $100 to get it shipped, cause it's kind of heavy, but
right. Yeah. The other thing with getting a new third member is, no matter what, I'm going to have to cut and weld a cover, and I just did that, so I don't really want
to
do that.
Oh, again. Yeah, that's right. I remember you had to add a whole quart of gear oil that morning in the spring on Drummond Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't too prepared. added a whole quart of gear oil, no spare tire the first day, and then... What else happened? Oh, the body mounts on the 4Runner rotted out too. Or yeah, the whole rear frame collapsed. Yeah, that was a rough trip for you.
But
it was fun.
The frame is now solid.
Yeah, you use those things and build them better after that. Yeah. You know, that's how it goes.
I still don't have a spare tire because I'm a cheap bastard.
I could get you, dude. My buddy's got two third. Oh, he sold one of them, but he's got another third jet. He's got probably three or four sets of Toyota wheels.
Well, the Toyota wheels don't work because they're 16s. I have to have 17s because of my Tundra swap.
We have Tundra wheels. Oh, I have a set of Tundra wheels over there.
That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have 17 FJ wheels over there. It's the places where Toyotas go to die. I mean, there's just crap everywhere.
Yeah, I'll probably get with you then, because I would love to throw a spare up on my roof once I get my roof rack.
Yeah, even those, I mean, I don't know what your plans are for your roof rack, like if you want to throw a 10 up there or whatever, but those Harbor Freight baskets, you know, are perfect for throwing a spare tire up there. I got one on my XJ, and then I had a spare light bar sitting in there, so I put that on the wind fairing, and like the sheet metal on it is paper thin, but I mean it's still on there. That's what I love about the XJ.
Yeah,
is I don't give a shit about how things are fashioned or secured. I use Gorilla Tape to tape the wires up to through the windshield and then on the roof. Like, dude, I could care less. I didn't even cut the fender on the rear to clear the tires. I just took a sledgehammer and bashed it in. Like, just zero cares about that thing.
I can't say much. I cut half my fender off to clear, so.
Yeah. The front was sawzalled really, really terribly. And then, you know, I forgot I had an angle grinder. I could have done a lot better of a job, but whatever. I didn't like even smooth the edges out. Like, it's jagged as hell. It's looks like a squiggly line. Like, it's not professional, but whatever.
What else do you expect from you, Amber?
Yeah, I mean, well, so that's the thing, like with the Sequoia, I try to be kind of clean about the way I do things, not my wiring, but the Tundra is in between and the XJ is just on the polar. It was actually so refreshing to build that. Like, I did it in 12 and a half days in my driveway, but while working full time and then doing baseball four nights a week with the kids, like, it was a whole thing. But that was so refreshing to kind of work on that and just not care. Like, Gorilla taping wires to the roof, using zip ties for everything. Like, I just don't care. And you know what? That thing will outwheel both of my other rigs because of the fact I don't care. And I will do things with it that I won't do with the other ones. that and the short wheelbase, solid axles, and the welded rear. I mean, you know, it's ready to party.
Yeah, it's. I haven't seen. Last time I saw it, I think it was still overheating.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's another reason why you don't do something like that in 12 days before a big trip.
What so did you, I had find out was wrong.
So what happened with that was when I bought Jeep Derricks with the intention of his was a crank no start, couldn't get it figured out. He just was over it. I bought it trying to figure that out, and then I was going to wheel it. And then he told me about this. It was full disclosure, nothing against him. I kind of started thinking about it more. He showed me there's some spots in the frame, and I'm like, man. I could get away with it for a little bit, but my buddy had 3 XJs sitting at his house, and one of them, the one I have, was hit on the side, so it was a bent subframe. So I went over there just to get an ECU and a crank position sensor to see if that was the culprit for the crank no start on Jeep Derricks. I ended up buying the other XJ. When I was loading it on the trailer, the lower radiator hose clamp broke and it started pouring coolant all over the place. So I had gotten a new hose, new clamps, and obviously drained all the coolant. I flushed it because it had been sitting for 5 years. So when I got done doing that, I was burping the system the way I thought I needed to. And I had not gotten all the air out of the system. Then the E-fan also wasn't working, which apparently is a huge deal on those. So after Drummond, I went and got the Harbor Freight pneumatic vac and fill kit mm-hmm. for cooling systems. And I did that, took the E-fan out of the parts XJ, put it in, wired, and this you'll get a kick out of this. I wired it with a TMU light bar harness that came with a TMU kit of lights I had. You know, it's got a relay and a switch. It hooks to the battery. So it is on its second relay though now. But
is it at least like 6 or 8 gauge wire, or is it
it's thick enough. Yeah, no, it's not like okay. It's for a light bar, you know, it's not for like some little chintzy little pods or something. Like it's they're thick.
Yeah, but so, from TMU, I could expect them giving you like 20 gauge wire with a light bar.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't know. So, I just, you know, checked those boxes. You know, I got the air out of the system. I checked to make sure that the head didn't have any exhaust gases leaking into the cooling system. And I wired the E-fan up to its own switch, and I run it all the time. And it never gets above, I mean, very rarely you'll get above 210, but as soon as, and that's just when you're sitting kind of lugging around on the trail and taking breaks while, you know, Wild Bill's in the back jiggling his wires on his Jeep together. So, then it'll get hot. But, you know, if you turn it off when you're sitting and keep that fan running, and, you know, it's fine. For now.
I mean, XJs kind of run warm anyway. They usually sit around 2, 210.
Yeah, 210's right where it's supposed to be. I mean, there's these, you know, Haas and Barb people on the XJ group that say, mine runs at 180, your cooling system got something wrong with it. But, you know, whatever. No, every 210. They're
making shit up.
Yeah, like, you can, like, a lot of guys, some guy. Oh, will like vent the hoods or raise the rear of the hood. You know, it's all about it, that engine. And I, you know, not coming from Toyota where everything runs pretty cool, like 186.6. Yeah. I mean, is what my Tundra pretty much lives at. The XJ was a learning curve for sure. It's an engine that needs a lot of airflow, and you know, Toyota can more or less rely on its cooling system to do the job efficiently, where the XJ needs right. a little extra help.
TJ's so. The same way. Those things are hot boxes.
Yeah, I But you know, the cool thing about the XJ, it's got the 4-liter, which is, you know, regarded as probably one of Jeep's, if not the most reliable Jeep engine ever made. It also has a Toyota transmission that they source from Toyota. Mm-hmm. And they're cheap as hell. They're reliable and they are dime a dozen cheap. So it's been fun. I enjoy it.
I've been enjoying watching Yoda Disciple play with Jeeps. So
yeah, a long time ago, I made a reel. You know that the third Star Wars where Anakin is like getting burned alive and Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, I loved you. You were my brother. So I made a reel about that. Like, said something stupid, like when your Toyota buddy buys a Jeep, and then little did I know I was going to be that Toyota buddy buying a Jeep.
I mean, at least it's not JK.
Yeah, no, I don't, for me, like, I like Jeeps. I'm more power to everybody that builds them up that are brand new. You know, they buy these brand new ones, do the top of the line, everything on them, you know, bead locks in 40s, you know, they just go hard with them. You know, like, they're awesome, don't get me wrong. But for me, I just want it to beat on. I don't want anything nice that I care about ruining. I want something that, hey, if, you know, the exhaust falls off in the middle of the trail, stick it back in there and don't worry about it. You know, like, hey, you fell off this rock and you hit a tree on the door and it's caved in now. Great. Well, take the door off. Like, you know, who cares? That's, you know, it's there to party, man. It's not there. It's not there for a long time. It's there for a good time.
I'll have to dig through the pilot, my dad's. I think I've got turbo headers for that 4.0.
Yeah. Well, I have no intentions of touching the motor. I have no intentions of gearing it. I'm looking at side-by-side tires, like 37 by 10 and a half, like stickies, you know? Yeah. Just skinny 37s. I want the most ground. That's the Achilles heel with it, though, is that front diff. It sits pretty low. So I'm diffing out a lot. So I'm obviously looking. Yeah. Okay. that's a conversation with Derek. He loves portals and trailers. Everybody buy a trailer and buy portals. What a nerd. Anyway, love you, Derek. So yeah. Yeah, for me, I just want more ground clearance with it. I wouldn't mind a rear bumper so I can stick my Harbor Freight cases on the roof, because having those unsecured in the back is proven to be problematic when you go with your kids. I dropped into a tank trap on Fall Colors, and I had a Apache case with an air compressor come flying into the middle row and hit my oldest in the back. So yeah, these are all things you got to learn the hard way. Yeah. So, and they're still not secured, but
packouts were expensive, but it is nice knowing that they'll stay right where I put them.
Yeah. It's weird. You have packouts, but you're a Bauer guy.
Oh yeah. I hate Milwaukee, dude.
Well, don't they have their own version of it?
Yeah, but it's garbage. It has like three boxes, and it doesn't have near the locking system that Milwaukee's does.
Yeah. Actually, my wife's looking to get me something for Christmas, and I don't know what I want, because I just buy myself whatever I want all year. I don't have that. Maybe that'll be a good thing.
Yeah,
I gotta get ready for work now, man. But it's been good talking to you. All right, we'll see you next time. We'll see you on the trail.
Yep, catch you later.